This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, hour number two. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, getting to the Kyrie Irving situation with the Nets here as we come to you from our Rockin' Mortgage studio. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, somebody wins $50,000 in the Rockin' Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. Sign me up, Deke. I'm always good for that stuff. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right. The Brooklyn Nets. Oh, boy. So now we're starting to gain a little clarity, at least in terms of where Kyrie Irving is, and maybe more specifically where he will not be for the next couple of games. So he will not, as per reports, he has already been ruled out tonight. He's not playing tonight against Denver. He's not playing tomorrow against the Knicks. The last game that Kyrie Irving played was back on January 5th. Mm-hmm. They played three games since then, Philly, Memphis, and Oklahoma City. They've lost two of the three games. I know it's early, but they are 10th in the Eastern Conference, only 11 games in. I gotcha. But it's a 72-game season, so 11 games is weighted a little bit differently, right? And what is – listen, Teague, I let me just chase right to the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly – and people ask me a lot, like, why do you care so much about what Kyrie Irving does? And I never really felt that I had to actually respond to that, but I think I do. I don't care what Kyrie Irving does. I know he's a good dude.
Yeah.
I know he's not doing out there doing anything wrong, being a detriment to society. But quite frankly, while I don't care if Kyrie Irving ever dribbles a basketball in a meaningful manner again, I really don't care. If he comes back and he bowls, the Nets will be fun to watch. If he retires, great, whatever. There'll be a mess, and Kevin Durant's going to lament signing there. What I do care about, this is what I do care about, and this is what I will always protect on this show, because at the end of the day, I'm a fan. Even though I've been doing this for 20 years, I'm a fan.
Yep.
And I must get transparency from organizations, and I must, at the bare minimum, get accountability from an organization and a player. Where, I'm going to ask again, if anybody has an answer, please send it to me. Where in the world is the Brooklyn Nets general manager, Sean Marks, right now?
Mm-hmm.
Where is he?
Yeah.
Instead, what they're doing is, and it's such a disservice to the morale of the team and to the way that Steve Nash is going to be perceived, they keep trotting out a rookie head coach who's swimming right now with this stuff. Steve Nash is a great player. He doesn't know how to coach yet, so he's got to deal with this nonsense before every game and after every game. Sean Marks, even if it's a non-answer, if you want to be a world-class organization, which is something the Brooklyn Nets have stated basically since they moved to Brooklyn, then at the very least, you got to tell us where the hell your star player is,
yeah,
when he might be back, and what you're going to do about these absences.
Yeah, well, I mean, what to do about the absences is the last thing you need to, I think they're going to worry about right now, because that's, it looks like the NBA might be taking care of that for him, for them, because of the potential violations of league protocols. Now, for those who missed this story, Kyrie Irving was seen partying via, I don't know who put out the video. It was his sister's 30th birthday, yep. Asia, and it was a club.
And his dad's birthday, too.
Yep, same day.
It was a joint celebration.
Yep, so and this is near us, BT.
Not far.
It's a club, or not really a club. It's like a catering hall, mm-hmm. event venue called the Ballroom in West Orange, New Jersey. It's all documented. You can see it. It's corroborated that Kyrie was there dancing with his sister. And, despite all those reports that he's partying with Drake. Those are confirmed or whatever. But
no idea about that.
No idea about that. Clue. But we do know that, you know, 2 days ago or maybe even yesterday, he was partying with his sister in West Orange, New Jersey, which is where he's from. So that maybe violates league protocols because, I mean, probably 30 people, 20, 30 people in that room. A lot of them weren't wearing masks. Now, it probably was family, so you could probably get around it. But at the very least, it raises some questions about Kyrie's desire. Because you're in the middle of the season, right? It's not like we're on a break or all-star break or something. This is the middle of the season,
yeah.
And he's the last thing it looks like is on his mind is going to play basketball.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing you got to figure out. Kyrie, are you done with the game? Now, he's made a ton of money. He could probably walk away and be okay for the rest of his life and get involved in some other things that he finds more interesting or passionate. But I think the first thing the Nets got to answer is, Kyrie, do you even want to do this anymore? Because it seems like he doesn't.
Yeah, and I'm okay. That's fine. That's,
agreed.
He's earned that right.
Agreed.
He's earned that platform. He's a smart guy, you know. And his view on the world is very deep, and maybe there's a greater calling for Kyrie Irving, and that's admirable. But I mean, I'm going to play this cut from Kevin Durant. I mean, I know that Kevin Durant said the right thing. I know he's boys with Kevin Durant, Kyrie, but I can't imagine that everybody on the team shares this sentiment from Kevin Durant, especially when you see this footage emerge that while you guys are traveling, getting ready to play a good Nuggets team and get ready to play the Knicks and, you know, try to get on with your season here, and you've lost two out of three, Kyrie Irving is at a party. So here's what Kevin Durant said. Very short, very sweet, but I can't imagine the entire Net organization share. Maybe I'm wrong, but here's Kevin Durant.
I won't speak on Kyrie. I'll let him do that for himself. You know, so I'm sure you guys will see him soon whenever he comes back. And we support him 100% and pray for the best.
All right. Pray for the best. That goes without saying. Support. Listen, as a matter of fact, on my Twitter bio, it's one of the things it says grounded amongst others, you know, dad, whatever, grounded and loyal.
Yeah.
I am a loyalist, man. If you are a friend of mine, I will be there with you forever.
Yeah.
But there are limitations where at some point you got to look me in the eye and say, listen, man, here's what I'm thinking, and here's where I'm going. Because there's no way that the Nets right now can be feeling, you know, as connected to Kyrie as they were 2 weeks ago and be okay with these travels, these follies right now. If that video didn't emerge, we wouldn't be talking about Kyrie Irving right now.
No.
Unless, of course, Adrian, you know, Wojnarowski had something where he's not playing tonight, he's not playing tomorrow. All right, maybe it would have been inbounds, out of bounds. But when you see video, your teammates are playing. As Tiki says, it's not the All-Star break.
No.
It's not like he's late and he missed a practice after the All-Star break. It's the season.
Yeah, and he's, well, the video shows that he's
middle of the season, dude.
The video shows that he's okay. Because that's what I was worried. That's what you were worried about. I was like, dude, is he okay? Like, is he in the right state of mind? Is he physically all right? Is there something going on that he just can't talk about? Who knows? But he's out there dancing with his sister, right? So you know he's okay. And so it's his option to not be around his team and not really even communicate with his team about what's going on. And, you know, this probably won't always be unique to Kyrie Irving, but right now it feels unique to Kyrie Irving. When has this happened before? We're in the middle of a season.
Well, Rodman, remember the 30? Rodman got a little extended stay, had a chance to go to Vegas.
True.
But at least Phil Jackson said go.
But that was all organized. It
Correct.
Was like, dude, we get you, man. We know that you need to disconnect from this for a minute. You know, go blow off some steam, among other things, and then come back ready to go. And he did.
And nor was he the point guard where things kind of revolve around chemistry.
Nor were they a building squad, BD. They were established. Exactly.
He was
a piece that was going to help them win championships, which he ultimately did. This Brooklyn Nets team, I mean, they're all new to each other, basically.
This is a disaster.
It is
this
an utter
is
disaster.
We are already in the middle of the implosion. Hmm. We are already in the middle of it. And even if Kyrie Irving comes back in a week, let's say there's quarantine or the NBA doesn't deem it necessary, whatever. Kyrie Irving's, I was going to say recent history, but it's not even that recent. They really, outside of his first couple of years in the NBA when nobody cared about Kyrie Irving because the Cavaliers stunk and he couldn't do anything by himself to elevate them. That's a fact. Look it up. Since Kyrie Irving's been on our mainstream radar, and we all knew he was great. He was the first overall pick, etc. But in terms of like the day-to-day inclusion of Kyrie into the upper structure of the NBA, there's always been, not always, but there's intermittently been these deviations from the norm. And at first it was, well, you know, Kyrie, he's a unique dude. He's a little quirky. He's a different cat. All right, well, that worked for me for a couple of years. That's fine. I appreciate originality. What I don't appreciate and what I'll just never accept is unprofessionalism. And what I don't get, and I did this today just to see. Like, I just go to Twitter and I type in Kyrie Irving, right? Mm-hmm. Just to see what fans are thinking. The amount of people, all right, a lot of these people are Net fans, but definitely basketball fans.
Yeah.
The amount of people saying, well, he just needs some time away, back off Kyrie. What's wrong with you? Like, how is this even remotely acceptable to not come and do your job?
Who doesn't
see this?
What should the Nets
do? The Nets should suspend them, like I said on Friday.
But, okay, so what will that do, though? If they suspend him, what will it do?
Here's what it'll do, and I told you this on Friday. Mm-hmm. What it will do is it will send a message to the rest of the team. You know, this isn't acceptable.
Yeah, but nobody else is going to do this with the Brooklyn Nets. They're not established enough. They're not superstars.
They might not do this, but they might feel they've got the wiggle room to do something.
I hear you.
You got it.
You can get away with things, basically.
This is not what championship-level teams do.
Yeah. I wonder, though.
This is a circus, the Brooklyn Nets.
It is, but I wonder, you know, if Kyrie just says, I'm done with basketball.
No, that's fine. I respect that.
I
respect that.
I think that's the thing. I think we want to know. We're just curious because he's one of the stars of the league.
Yeah.
And what's he averaging? 27 points?
27 points a game. He's been great.
He's been great phenomenal. So far. And so without him, they're not the same team.
Nope.
And they're not going to be the same team with Kevin Durant. And
without Dinwiddie, by the way.
And Dinwiddie as well. So it feels like, you know, maybe we're judging this on the expectations that we had for the Brooklyn Nets, and now we're heading towards a disappointment. But at the same time, I just want to know what the hell is going on with Kyrie's mind, and I want to hear him say something about it.
He owes.
Because as soon as he says something about it, we'll all have clarity.
And he owes an explanation, Teague.
He does.
He owes it to fans.
Now, do you
he
think,
does.
Do you think that the Nets are protecting him? I mean, this is the other question. Kyrie is what he is, and we can have our strong opinions about
Kyrie.
Well,
he's enigmatic. That's a word that I think everybody could agree
no
upon.
Doubt about
he's
it.
Enigmatic.
But why are the Nets doing this? Like, why?
Because the Nets empowered him from the get-go. Yeah,
but they have to know what you said is right, that by letting him get away, not get away, because that just sounds like he's doing something wrong, but by letting him, you know what I mean? By letting him be absent without commenting, and even if they know what's going on, but not commenting themselves,
yep.
It's almost like they're complicit in it. And so I don't understand why they're not taking a firm stance. I don't think this is a privacy thing. I don't think it's a HIPAA thing. I don't think it's something like this. This is just, we want to know what's going on with your organization. Why aren't they saying anything?
I don't know. It's baffling. It's utterly unprofessional, and it's utterly unacceptable. Yeah. I just can't imagine that a franchise, and I don't want to thrust this solely on them. I mean, really, the issue is more so with Kyrie's unprofessionalism.
True, but the subset, Nets got to say something.
That's what I was going to say. The subset of that, the residue from that, is the Nets are compounding it. Like, on what planet as you kind of concoct and craft a PR message, just because there's not 20,000 people in the building doesn't mean that there's not millions of people who want to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Who are flipping on the games on the Yes Network, you know, with the Birdman, watching the Nets, you know. And by the way, the Nets have a multitude, as they should, at least coming into the season, all these national games.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how they started the season, the first two games. I'm like, this team, if they stay focused and don't have too many rest days, this team is going to be unstoppable and must watch and fun.
With
and
Kyrie.
Like that.
With Kyrie.
With Kyrie, of course.
Yeah.
And like that, they've gone from, it's like Animal House. Mm-hmm. It's such a bad look for a team that is trying to gain equity in this city. Because you know where I'm from. Mm-hmm. I know that Brooklyn's cool. Trust me. If anybody knows, it's me. Although Brooklyn now is not what was Brooklyn when I was there, but whatever. Brooklyn's a great place. I love Brooklyn. My parents still live there. I will always love the borough, right? But I've also said a million times that the Nets occupy roughly, estimate, mm-hmm. maybe I'm off a few percentage points, 10, 11, 12% of the equity in terms of basketball fandom in the city?
Yeah.
If you want to cut into the Knicks, and you can, but the first step is you got to be professional.
Yeah.
You got to have a plan. You got to have a clue. But how many times can you trot poor Steve Nash out there with a mask? I don't know. I don't have an answer. Sean Marks needs to speak. Yeah. I don't give a damn if he doesn't say anything that makes sense. He's got to be in a position of leadership. Like, hey, I know it's been a rough week. We're going to get this. Don't even divulge anything. I don't care. You must be seen, Sean Marks.
Yeah.
You must be.
He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't want to look bad.
Well, you got to, if you're the GM, you got to know what to say.
That's a terrible excuse. And you got to be willing to look bad because
he's not going to look bad. He'll look bad because he's not saying anything.
Well, that's exactly right. But you got to be able to answer the question even when you know the answers. Those answers aren't going to satisfy people because he's not going to have the answer for Kyrie. Kyrie's got to speak for himself.
But you know what, Teak? People, including me, would accept that immediately. Like, okay, he's not the one who bounced.
Yeah.
He's the GM. But you've got to have an element of accountability. And I'll tell you what, of all the other sports, the NBA is really, really allowing things. Like, I'm not talking about social issues. Mm-hmm. Some people probably interpret that. I'm not going there at all. That's not what I'm implying.
Yeah.
That's not what's in my heart. But when you have guys, like, so flippantly approaching their craft, and I even mean night to night, nobody's playing defense, guys coming down, jacking up 40-foot jump shots, happens every night. Now you have one of the superstars of the NBA deciding not to even show up for work for a week. Nobody knows why, and there's a video. Doesn't happen in the NFL, mm-mm. Doesn't happen in baseball, doesn't happen in hockey. So keep doing this, NBA, and you'll go from a great sport to a sport that nobody wants to watch anymore.
Yeah,
you're and right. I love the NBA.
Yeah, when you can't trust that the athletes are going to do what they're supposed to do, then, yeah, you lose us a little bit.
It's just, it is
luckily, Kyrie is the exception right now, and this is very unique and not something that's happening more and more, but if the league doesn't say anything and the Nets don't say anything and Kyrie doesn't say anything, then who's to say it's not going to happen more?
That's what I was going to say. And that's the muddy point right there. If you don't respond to this now, like I've always said, you know, if you don't, I don't mean yell, but if you don't at least acknowledge when your three-year-old writes on your kitchen table, don't be surprised when they take the keys to the Cadillac and take it for a joyride when they're 15. Uh-huh. Don't be surprised.
That's true.
I mean, I've used that analogy before. You know.
Sounds like somebody experienced that from the other side.
Taking the car?
Yeah.
All the time, man. I've told you that. All the time I used to take the car. Oh, yeah. You used to always take the car. All the time. It was brand new Nissan Maxima. Oh, my dad hates when I tell this story. Used to take it all the time. All right, T, coming up, Antonio Daniels. Now, he played, and he's an old school cat, and he's a great friend of the show. Maybe he's going to totally disagree with me. I honestly, I don't know. I'd be stunned if he does, but we're just going to ask him, and we're going to let him go. Wherever he takes us, we'll respond. We'll have a great conversation. What should the Nets do? Why are they so tolerant, or why are they so invisible right now? And the responsibility of Kyrie to his teammates. We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Coming up next segment, is it actually possible Eric Bieniemy gets shut out again? Is there a chance Eric Bieniemy's not a head coach week one 2021 season? Teak and I'll get to that coming up. Seth Joyner, hour number three. Lincoln Riley and the Eagles, they reached out. We'll get to that coming up as well. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. All right, sometimes you just need an answer, all right? You heard us last segment about Kyrie Irving. I needed an answer from somebody who played, from somebody who doesn't sugarcoat it, from somebody who's real, an NBA champion, good friend of the show. You hear him on Sirius XM NBA, Fox Sports South, Fox Sports New Orleans as well. Lottery pick back of the day, Antonio Daniels, AD. First of all, Happy New Year to you, buddy. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Oh, well, great. But listen, I mean, this Nets situation, I understand a lot of people laid out because you weren't sure what exactly was up with Kyrie and, you know, being sensitive to possible mental health, whatever. People right. wanted to be very slow to the conversation, understandably. This right. is ridiculous, man. I mean, now there's videos. The Nets, Sean Marks has not said a word. What in the world is going on? And what do you think about this as a former player?
Okay, I'll tell you first and foremost, I literally spent the majority of last week defending Kyrie Irving after what happened in D.C. with the Capitol, knowing that Kyrie Irving does have a heart for humanity. Regardless as to how you feel about him right now, he has a heart for humanity. This is the same guy who paid off WNBA salaries. This is the same guy who paid off the scholarships to 10 kids to go to HBCUs. Mm-hmm. So he has a heart for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first heard that he wasn't going to play after what transpired in the Capitol, my thought was to defend him. Like everybody processes things different. And social injustice and things that are going on in this world, they affect everybody different. And I didn't feel comfortable judging Kyrie because he chose to process something different than I would.
Okay.
With all that being said, now we're moving into the next week, and I'm finding it extremely hard to defend him. As an analyst, as a former player, I want to see Kyrie Irving's perspective. I want to look at this situation from his vantage point. But when he's silent, and the only issue that I had initially was the fact that he was not communicating with those that he needed to, which is Steve Nash and Sean Marks and your teammates are just kind of left out to dry, so to speak. Kevin Durant and him, they chose to embark on this together. They chose to intend together, like, look, let's both go to Brooklyn together. So you don't owe the media anything. I do agree with that. He doesn't owe an explanation to the media for anything. But there are people that deserve an explanation for what's going on. And now it's gotten to the point where it's a little out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now but I'm saying, like, now I'm starting to worry if there's something bigger at play here that, and I said this today on our show.
Okay.
Is there something bigger at play here that we're not thinking about? Like, would it surprise you? Would it surprise you? Understanding that Kyrie Irving was the same guy who didn't want to go and play in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Would it surprise you if you heard 2, 3, 4 days from now that Kyrie Irving retired?
No. I've said that on the show.
Me neither.
No.
It wouldn't surprise me one bit. So that's why I'm saying when I say I think there's something bigger at play here than what's on the surface.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, no, it's interesting because the Nets haven't said anything. Maybe they know this is coming, and I guess we won't find an answer until Kyrie says something about this or he figures out, you know, what's going on, you know, with him. Let's move on to other league issue.
Teek, before you do that, though, can I follow up if we're going to move to something else? I just wanted to ask him. Okay. See, but the thing that I think is troubling, at least forget about Kyrie, pertaining to the Nets, how they've handled this here, Antonio, is if you want to elevate yourself to a world-class franchise, which is what they have publicly aspired to be, they have not been shy to express that pursuit of that. That's who they want to be. Can you imagine the Lakers not having a general manager look into a camera? Can you imagine the Warriors not having a general manager, even if you don't say anything, just to stabilize it momentarily? Like, to me, it's been bungled from every direction, man.
I don't know. Because in this particular situation, because just as much as you can say, would you have the Lakers general manager looking to the camera, or would you have the Golden State general manager looking to the camera? Could you imagine Steph Curry or LeBron James doing something like this?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know that that's the point.
They wouldn't be putting that position. But you know what I appreciate about what Brooklyn has done? And we're going to agree to disagree on this, because I like the fact that they're keeping everything internal.
Okay.
Because we're not accustomed to that. All we hear people say all the time, you know, when things happen in-house, sometimes it's best to keep it in-house. And right now, what can they possibly say? If I'm Sean Marks and I haven't had a healthy form of communication with Kyrie Irving, when Steve Nash came out last week and said, you know what, I sent him 3 text messages, but I still haven't got a reply.
Yeah, but AD, this is before the video. At least you can condemn the video.
Well, we have to understand, man. We are in this is a player-empowered league, and I will continue to say this I've said this a million times on my radio show. Players need to enjoy what they're getting right now, because you best believe when that collective bargaining agreement comes up again in 2.5 years, it's going to hit different. Everything that's going on right now, the governors are taking note. Okay, so James Harden doesn't run a report to training camp. oh, he doesn't want to go. Oh, Ben Simmons doesn't want to go back to and join his own team. He wants to go back to Philadelphia on his own. Oh, Kyrie Irving just wants to go. You best believe when the new CBA comes up, it's going to hit different from the governor perspective. Because
yeah.
This player-empowered league, guys are really abusing the amount of power that they're getting.
Yeah, no, you're right. It feels that way. But, you know, they brought it upon themselves. They empowered this many years ago, and it's only gotten worse because of the amount of money that's in the league now. And you know that just as well as we do, Antonio. Is the league in danger of pausing right now? And if they do, what happens, you know, to the rest of this season? Because it gets really hard to keep making up a lot of these games that are getting postponed, not canceled right now.
I think they're trying to do everything in their power to stay away from pausing. Hmm. And
but is that smart? Is that smart, though?
The question is, what is the alternative? Because we can't – it's at a point now where you can't do a bubble. Because if you're going to do a bubble, that bubble needs to be talked about why guys were playing in the last bubble. So it's not like you can wake up on January 12th and say, you know what, man, maybe we need to move everybody into a bubble. It's so much that needs to go into the thought process, especially when you're bubbling 30 teams as opposed to 22 and playing 60 to 64 games as opposed to 8.
Yeah.
It's so much more that needs to go into this. You know, the question that I have is, when this stuff came out today, whether it was Woj or it was Shams, what really stood out to me is it said for the next 2 weeks. That's what stood out to me. It said for the next 2 weeks, these are going to be the restrictions that are put in place. And my question is, what happens? Why 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Is this a trial period to say these are the things that we're going to do for the next 2 weeks? And if it doesn't happen, that now it's time to talk about postponement? Because we forget how quickly everything changed in March. When we were in Sacramento, we were the last game to get canceled. When we were in Sacramento, when New Orleans in Sacramento, 24 hours before that game, the NBA was a go. Everybody was fine. And in 24 hours, the league shut down. And after the league shut down, the entire sports world followed suit.
They did.
So I think we forget sometimes it can take one guy. It took Rudy Gobert, one man, catching COVID to shut down the entire league. Guys need to understand the amount of responsibility that they have in their hands right now.
That's good stuff. Good conversation. As always, our buddy Antonio Daniels, former NBA champion, Sirius XM, NBA Radio, Fox Sports New Orleans, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You know, Antonio, the last thing we'll say, we'll ask you about before we let you go, because we know we're getting a little bit late here. This whole James Harden, so you mentioned him earlier, reporting late to camp. Mm-hmm. Now there's maybe he's going to get traded, maybe he's not. He actually came out and he balled his first couple of games. You know, this situation feels like it should have at least headed towards resolution. Now it feels like we're sitting in limbo. What's going to happen with James Harden and the Houston Rockets? Because they're not in a position to do anything, you know, to be successful. Maybe they will and surprise us, but what's happening in Houston right now?
I think what's happening in Houston is equivalent to what's happening in Philadelphia.
Hmm.
You have two guys that don't want to be in their respective positions. Obviously, they're looking from different vantage points. James Harden wants out, and Ben Simmons doesn't feel wanted. But what happens is you don't get their best effort either way. Either way, you don't get the best version of themselves. I don't know what's going on in Houston. I've always felt like, and obviously I'm on the outside looking in, and I'm not him. I've always felt like this is the most talented team that James Harden has had since he's been in Houston. With DeMarcus Cousins, with Christian Wood, with Eric Gordon, with John Wall, with P.J. Tucker, I felt like this was the most talented team that he's had. But for some reason, he doesn't want to be there. But the thing with James Harden is this is a situation that he created.
Yeah.
It's different if this is something someone else created and now you don't like where it stands. They have catered to everything that James Harden once done.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want to remove yourself from the equation. So I don't know what the right answer is. It wouldn't surprise me if James Harden said, you know what, man? Let me cut my losses. If y'all ain't going to move me, let me sign the 2-year, $100 million deal. Because, again, you start thinking about what's coming up in the future as far as the collective bargaining agreement is concerned.
That's a good point. Well, a way to kind of circumvent that preemptively, that is a good point. AD, we're going to let you bounce, man. We just had to get your perspective on this. Good conversation as always. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Appreciate you, AD.
For sure. I appreciate it, fellas. Anytime.
Back at you, man. Always. You know that. He's a favorite on the show. That was good stuff there. Teague, we're a little late, as we said, so let's get the update from ACK. But coming up next here, there's only so many spots on the carousel. So where will Eric Bieniemy wind up sitting? Will he wind up getting a seat? We'll get to that conversation coming up next. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Here's this weekend, the NFL playoffs continue on CBS. The AFC's down to four teams remaining, with the defending champion Chiefs still the team to beat. Who takes the next step on the road to Super Bowl number 55? Find out this weekend when the AFC divisional round plays out, only on CBS. All right, Teague. So next hour, we're going to get to a possible reunion from at least Lincoln Riley and his former college quarterback, Jalen Hurts. The Eagles have reached out to him. All right, so here we are. We've got the Chargers, the Falcons, the Jags, the Jets, the Lions, the Texans, and the Eagles. We've got seven openings, right? Pertaining to Eric Bieniemy, the Jets, Jags, Chargers, Falcons, and Lions all already interviewed Eric Bieniemy because they did so during Kansas City's bye.
Yep.
Now the Houston Texans, and this was obviously the source of, I don't know if all, but much of Deshaun Watson's consternation, that the GM was one aspect, and also the fact that they weren't lining up early to chat with Eric Bieniemy about their vacant head coaching spot. Now they reach out to Eric Bieniemy, but now, because the Kansas City Chiefs are getting ready to play a game, the way the rules are set up, the Texans can't actually speak to Bieniemy until their season's over.
Yeah,
they either win or they lose.
Good job, man. Wait.
Nicely, the timing, just sheer perfection.
Unless it was on purpose, which I'm like, I'm not going to speculate it, but who knows? Seriously.
Yeah.
It is a little confounding with Eric Bieniemy, because obviously he's been. We have this conversation every single year, and obviously he's a minority, and so he's bound to just to get interviews simply because, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but let's put it this way. He checks a box as far as the Rooney Rule is concerned. But at this point, why hasn't he gotten a shot is the question that everybody keeps asking. Now, I don't know this because I'm not privy. I actually haven't even heard a report about whether or not he's a good interviewer a bad interviewee, he knocks it out of the ball. I don't know. I haven't heard anything, and I don't know if that's intentional or not, but it's starting to get to the point where you got to start making assumptions, right? Maybe he's really good at his job and would be a great head coach. He just doesn't interview well, because that's what people are looking for when they have that interview for the next head coach or maybe even a coordinator. We hear these stories about, like, Brandon Staley, for instance, who's now, jumped to the hot list for coordinators, defensive coordinators of the Los Angeles Rams, that could potentially be head coaches. He interviewed phenomenally, and that's how he got the job after being a linebackers coach under Vic Fangio. And so sometimes you just interview well. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a great head coach, but just because you don't interview well doesn't mean you're not going to be a great head coach. So I can't figure out the answer with Eric Bieniemy, and I don't want to make assumptions about it, but it's largely silent around his processes over time, and it's been a lot of them. It's been 3 or 4 years at this point.
He's 51 years old.
I know.
If you want to be a coach, it's time to get cooking. I know it took Vic Fangio a long time to get there, but that was because he's a defensive person.
Yep.
The league was skewed a bit. It's very strange what's happening here now. I really hope that we're not in a situation where the seven openings, I have always been a proponent of the best person gets the job.
Yeah, agreed.
The issue with the setup of the NFL is that the decision makers are in large part white. Mm-hmm. And, you usually reach out to somebody that you're familiar with.
Yep.
Much like, and this is not a knock, but if the GMs were mostly black, you'd probably see a lot more black coaches. It's just, not trust necessarily, but connection or, again, familiarity. Is there a chance? I know Marvin Lewis is in the mix here. Yep. Caldwell, it could be recycled. Maybe Todd Bowles is starting to get a look again. Do you think there's a chance? And by the way, for the record, Rob Saleh is a minority. Nobody says that, but he's a minority.
Yes.
Do you believe that there's a chance that seven openings come and go without a minority, excluding Rob Salah for a moment, that there's not an African-American person coach hired for this cycle?
I can't see that happening simply because a guy like Marvin Lewis fits so many boxes for so many different teams, mm-hmm. whether it's a team that needs to rebuild like the Jets or the Lions. He's too good of a choice for teams like that. And he's experienced. It's not like he's going to learn and make mistakes and, you know, set the organization farther back.
Yep.
But for some of these first time, you know, coordinators who are looking to become head coaches like Eric Bieniemy or Rob Salah, I could see those guys getting shut out, but I don't think that.
Wait, did you say you think Rob Salah could get shut out?
No, I could see them getting shut out simply because a lot of the openings, BT, have a lot of work to be done. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if there's an easy, if there's one of these openings, it's just like easy. Like, all right, you just got to come in and.
I think Chargers pretty easy.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
You know,
relatively. Yeah, I think you're right with that because they have a set defense.
Yeah.
Some studs on that side of the ball. They just got to find. I mean, they've been unlucky. They got to stay healthy. On the defensive side of the ball, but they have,
and they got to win tight games.
Exactly.
That's part of the problem with Anthony Lynn, his record.
That's exactly
good
right.
With tight games.
So that's probably the best opening.
Yep.
And so interestingly, Eric Bieniemy, who has such great passion and I think talent on the offensive side of the ball, that actually is a good fit for him because it's not like he's got to remake the wheel, so to speak, in mm-hmm. Los Angeles with the Chargers. He can come in and bring what he knows and maybe expand what they have done offensively and, you know, make the right decisions down the stretch. So I don't see it happening, but I wouldn't be surprised because we've seen it so many times over the last few years, BT. I mean,
yeah.
we lose three 2 years ago and we gain one. Talking about minorities. It's just the nature of hiring in the position. Teams and owners and general managers have preconceived notions of who they want before they even have one interview. And
yeah.
You really got to blow them away in order to change their mind.
I agree. We're not out of that period yet. We're still there.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that still exists. Anybody who's shaking their head to what Tiki just said, you're missing it. That still exists. That is still deeply entrenched, not as deeply,
mm-mm.
but it is still an issue in the NFL. Let's
yeah.
be real.
And look, and sometimes it works in the favor of a minority. Like, for instance, Ron Rivera last
yeah.
year. Like
yeah.
Because he got fired so early in the then Redskins, but now Washington football team, had so much time themselves, that marriage probably happened well before Black Monday and this whole interviewing process.
No question.
I mean, it was certainly happening for weeks, likely.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it actually happened, it was kind of like, all right, it was just logical. It made sense. I don't think all the other openings this year are similar to that. And so as a result, it gets pressing. And let's face it, Eric Bieniemy has a job to do right now. And it's a significant job preparing the Kansas City Chiefs and his offense to try to win another Super Bowl.
So did Arthur Smith and so did, you know, Wink Martindale coming
yeah.
into their games. And they still managed to have Zoom sessions and be prominently mentioned.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, they were still juggling as well. You know, the thing about Bieniemy, there is no way that, you know, if you had... Well, first of all, if you had somebody like Eric and his resume, and that person was white,
mm-hmm.
that person would not be waiting till age 51 to get a job. That's
yeah.
just
yeah. I
fact.
Mean, the obvious parallel is Nagy.
Matt Nagy's one. I mean, look at LaFleur in Green Bay. Arthur Smith's probably going to get a chance.
But I'm
talking
about
a lot of them.
I'm talking about Nagy specifically under Andy Reid.
And now they're talking about Andy Reid's quarterback's coach.
Yes.
Maybe getting a job before Bieniemy. I forget his name. I can never say it properly. But you know what I think could be a good spot for Bieniemy? Although I don't know if he's doing himself any favors when he puts this out there and lets us to make himself look better
mm-hmm.
because he's getting passed over. If I'm Eric Bieniemy, I don't know if I'm saying that I'm waiting for the perfect job.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got that kind of juice. As a matter of fact,
well,
you don't.
No, I don't think he does either. But I also think he's acutely aware of really any new head coach, but especially a black head coach going somewhere and failing for a couple of years and you lose your chance forever. Yeah. Right. And so if you go to the wrong spot, it's organizationally not very sound from so from top to bottom. They're just they're a loser. Right. You go there, you end up compiling a losing record and you never get a chance.
Yeah.
And somewhere in his mind, he might be saying, unless Andy Reid is pushing him out, which I don't think he is.
No.
Maybe he is. I don't know. But I doubt it. I'm actually in a good spot right where I am.
Yeah, but don't you want to be a head coach?
Yeah, of course he does. Of course, otherwise he would turn down the interviews. You know, of course he wants to be a head coach.
Well, if you turn down interviews, then you never get the job.
That's what I mean. So he hasn't. So of course he wants to be a head coach because otherwise he would just turn down these interviews. But I think he's also very aware that if he goes to the wrong place, that's his only shot.
Yeah, no, I understand there's something. Look at Wilkes from Arizona.
Yes.
The way it went down with him
one year. That's exactly right.
Boom.
But I don't know if he was groomed to be the guy.
No, he wasn't. That was the wrong spot.
He was a D coordinator for a year.
Hastily put together a relationship. Didn't work out. But I think a decent spot. Oh, I think there's a few good spots for Bieniemy. I'd love to see him with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Urban Meyer is going to do. There's reports and obviously, you know, well-sourced people. He's already putting his staff together. Looks like he's probably going to take that Jaguars job. If he doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. To me, that even though you want to talk about ownership, maybe not being as the structure, not what Bieniemy is exactly looking for. But from the Jaguars' point of view, Bieniemy would be a guy that I would say, all right, there's some similarities here. We're drafting Trevor Lawrence. He started working with a young Patrick Mahomes. Like, yeah. I can sell, if I'm Bieniemy, I can sell my vision on and my plan for the trajectory the first 2-3 years of Lawrence's career, what we need to do to insulate him properly and put him on the path to be a star.
He's also fighting a prejudice. It's not a prejudice because of his race. It's a prejudice because he was a running back. And running backs are often seen as not having the acumen, football IQ acumen of quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, you think that plagues Deuce Staley in Philly too?
Oh, definitely.
Probably.
Definitely. And it's not fair. Because running backs obviously have the ability to, and in fact, a lot of them, and I know Deuce was this way and Bieniemy was this way as well, had a ton of responsibility about understanding defenses and what they were trying to do to you as an offense. But that's just it's a label and it's unfair. But the running back doesn't, just like the center in basketball, like the big man in basketball, doesn't get a ton of shots to be head coaches. Running backs have this stigma. It's unfair, and he's fighting that.
That is true. I mean, listen, it's one thing if he's holding out for a certain job and he turns jobs down. If Eric Bieniemy wants to take one of these jobs and doesn't get an offer, it's going to look horrendous, and it's not going to feel right.
Agreed.
Let's get to Lincoln Riley's situation. Can he go to Philly? Reunite with Jalen Hurts? Could that actually work? Will it happen? It's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.